huge day for the United States and for the whole world, really, with the news that Derek Chauvin, the former police officer charged with the murder and manslaughter of George Floyd, he has been found guilty on all three counts. There are celebrations in the States. It wasn't necessarily the result that everyone was thinking was going to happen. There's huge relief amongst the entire American community. And I'm sure for one man who joins us now on the phone, contributor to CBS Radio, Michael Williams. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Michael, we've spoken to you many times on the project about this story, and you are always incredibly emotional when we talk about it. Just how significant is the day there today for you personally and for Americans?
Well, in American history, if you look at it from that way, in that broad perspective, I think that this is one of the two most significant civil rights moments of the 21st century, the first being the election of Barack Obama as the first black president. That showed that there was a willingness to accept people, exceptional black people, in positions of authority. This is something completely different. It says that just you don't have to be exceptional to get justice. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be a Harvard graduate to get justice. It's a huge moment in the arc of civil rights, which is still looking for a resolution. For me, a lot of people around me cried and yelled and had a sense of jubilation. I had an appreciation for this day, but I don't see it as a day for celebration. It was more reflective for me. I felt like that it's good to see the justice, but it still remains so sad that it took so much to get just to this one moment.
Michael, I don't know if I was unnecessarily pessimistic, but I was surprised that this was the outcome. There are 2 months before sentencing happened. Is there room for appeal before then? What is the initial next step?
No, there's no room for appeal before that. There will be a sentencing. But it seemed to me that the defense was kind of angling for a mistrial as their best case outcome throughout the trial. They moved several times for a mistrial. The judge made an opening for comments by a U.S. Congresswoman, Maxine Waters, that there would possibly be grounds for a mistrial. So certainly there will, and for an appeal. So I think almost certainly there will be an appeal, but there will be a sentencing first for this now convicted criminal.
It was extraordinary watching Derek sitting there. I was watching with my son this morning, and he kept saying he almost didn't realize that was the man in the center of all this, because he was showing zero emotion, zero reaction to the verdict. And he kept saying, why is he not reacting, Mum? And I said, that's one of the things that's been hardest for people watching on.
It seems as though that is the ethos and the pathos of one Derek Chauvin. And if nothing else, he's consistent. And I don't know if and when that dam will break and some emotion and some realization of what he has done and what is about to happen to him will come. Maybe it'll be at sentencing, because as the trial was televised, I'm quite sure that the sentencing will be televised too. So perhaps we'll see a semblance of human emotion there. But the what we saw in the courtroom today was pretty much par for the course for that man.
Who have we heard from since? Have we heard from your new president? Have we heard from George Floyd's family?
We have heard from the family, who are, of course, jubilant because they felt they have justice. And I will say, I said earlier that it's not a time for celebration. I absolve that decree from the Floyd family. I think that they can certainly celebrate justice being done for the tragic loss of a family member. They can celebrate. And they were jubilant, and they were hopeful. They felt that their loved one has not died in vain. And if he can be a beacon towards other young black men not having to die, then maybe the sacrifice is worthwhile. The president of the United States, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris, the vice president, both spoke eloquently and very emotionally about this being a first step, about this being a beginning and not an ending. And there's so much work to be done.
Michael, thankfully, we are seeing some justice here. What do you think would have happened if this decision went the other way?
There were preparations being made for what the eventualities would have been had we seen a not guilty verdict. And I think there would have been. The reaction would have been there from people who were protesting and people who were just sort of piggybacking on that emotion to take care of some other selfish motives that they may have had. We've seen that over the course of the past year. So I think there isn't much question that it would have been there. And this is where our leaders can't say things like fight and confront and do these sorts of things. Words matter. We saw that on January 6th, and we see it every single day. So going forward, we have to direct our emotion, direct these feelings of frustration, of anger even, towards positive outcomes. Destruction doesn't get it. It's construction. Constructing a better America is where we need to go.
Michael, just before we let you go, you mentioned they're moving forward. Mr. Floyd's brother spoke already. He told reporters that he's receiving messages from all around the world. They're all saying the same thing, which is, we won't be able to breathe until you're able to breathe. And then he said, today we are able to breathe again. Do you think, in your opinion, that this is just a blip, or do you think this is the start of real systemic change?
I think it sets a precedent. And for not only the method of, well, certainly an evidentiary precedent. You know, if we have it on tape, there's a chance that this will be prosecuted. The other bridge and the other person, I want to say, who doesn't get enough credit is the Attorney General for the state of Minnesota, Keith Ellison, who's a former congressman who decided to prosecute. So many of these cases never come to trial because an attorney general or a police captain says, well, it was justified. It was justified. His life is in danger. He's a police officer. They failed to cross the thin blue line. And that is what has been crossed. So if we have more people of moral fiber and courage who are willing to accept the difficult challenge of breaching that blue line and saying, the police are such a noble profession, we disrespect it when we don't demand justice. We do a disservice when we don't demand fairness and protection of the citizenry. That's the way these people saw it. That's the way they acted. And I think they're going to have a better police force forward. So maybe it sets an example such that other people who make the decisions about whether or not we even get an opportunity to judge will take the chance now, will take the opportunity to say, yes, let's determine whether or not this is just. Let's put it in the hands of the people and not just say, this is how it has to be. It's a beacon of change. It's a point of light on the horizon, and hopefully we'll steer towards it.
Michael, we know it's late there, so we'll let you go, but we really appreciate your time today. Thank you.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.